God, as individuals and together as God's people. They're there to help us communicate with God. They're relational parts of Scripture. They remind us of the amazing things that God has done. They give us words to express the depths of our joy, sorrow, hope, and peace. They can help us find the words when we don't know how to express what we feel or think. They show us how brutally open and frank we can be with God when we bring things before Him. And they express situations that other people are in that maybe we don't understand, so that we can understand how they feel, so that we can sympathize and support them better, and we can grow our fellowship that way as well. So we've been thinking, as we've been going through this series in Psalms, of whoever's preaching was picking their favorite. So in that sense, I have a favorite and I don't, really. For me, the most powerful psalm, the most significant psalm, is the one that expresses how I feel at a time, reflects my thoughts on the situation that I'm in, and finds words for the thoughts in my heart, which changes all the time. So I have a favourite psalm, but it's not one of them. It's all of them, depending. So at the moment, the one that speaks most to me is Psalm 98. And here is a bit of an explanation about why. So paraphrasing the theologian Tom Wright, the Christian faith is not a religion that goes round and round in a circle. It's not a religious system that repeats endlessly. It's about events that move forward in a historical sequence from a beginning to a development to a climax to the results of that climax. Part of being a Christian is to know where we belong within that story and to celebrate what that means. That God's dealing with our sins and establishing His new covenant with us have been achieved once and for all. It's about finding our place and understanding where we fit into God's plan and meeting with Him where we are. So let me just get something visual. I'm really hoping that this stays structurally sound for the whole of the service. We'll see what happens here. So we've got today a two-dimensional sermon. Some might say that actually that's fewer dimensions than we normally get. But yes, we will see what we can do. Just bear with me a minute. So hopefully this will kind of give a little bit of a structure and a bit of direction to where we're going. And hopefully, with a bit of luck, it will stay standing up. So, Psalms, particularly Psalm 98, helped me meet with God in His story, His salvation plan for the world. We look back and we look forward so that we can understand what's going on in the present, the then, the now, and the not yet. And I'm going to shift this a little bit because I'm conscious that people on this side of the church are probably stood right in the way. Right. So there is the then, the now, and the not yet. And the Psalms contain all of these. We think of Psalms as being written a long time ago, but they also look to things that are still in the future for us. I've really enjoyed reading in preparation for this fantastic book, again by Tom Wright, Finding God in the Psalms. So this kind of thing is a little bit sort of modelled after how he unpacks and explains some of the Psalms in this book. And I can recommend reading it. When I've finally finished it, I'll put it in the church library as well, so it can hopefully bless other people as well. So thinking about the Psalms are a place where we meet God. It's a meeting place between us and Him. And it's about God's time, God's place, and God's world. And thank you to Jonathan for helping me paint some of these things yesterday. Very neat and tidy. Much neater and tidier than I might have done it as well. So thinking about this, thinking about God's time, God's place, and God's world. Thinking about the then, the now, and the not yet. And starting with God's time, because that's what comes first in Psalm 98, looking at verses 1 to 3. God is eternal, and we are not. Understanding the greatness of God's plans is beyond our comprehension, but God can help us understand where we fit in. Verse 2 says, "The Lord has made his salvation known." God has always had a salvation plan for the world, but he's revealed it step by step through history. The more history we see, the more we know, and the more we understand. So when the psalm was written back in the Old Testament, salvation meant God saving his people, Israel, from slavery in Egypt and blessing them with his presence and a place to live and worship. That was amazing, and God continued to save and deliver his people. It was amazing, but God had something even better planned. It wasn't just physical slavery that needed to be overcome. It was slavery to sin and the values of humans when we don't know God and go our own way. God sent us salvation for this by sending us Jesus to take the punishment for sin on himself and to restore our relationship with God. So now, when we read this psalm, we think of salvation in terms of the gospel of Jesus. When we read this psalm, we praise God that he has shown his perfect, once for all, salvation in Jesus. We see that eternal life with God has been won for us and given us as a gift. We praise God because we have the Bible, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have church history to build our faith upon and our assurance of that. And God helps us navigate our times, the times that we live in, to make wise decisions, to live his way, to pick the right fights, knowing that his way means that we're part of his great plan. So as it says in Romans chapter 5, "You see, just at the right time, whilst we were still powerless, Christ died for us, the ungodly." But there's a not yet as well. Verse 4 says, "All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." That was a future event when the psalm was written, and that's a future event for us now. We know that there is an end. We know that Jesus will come again, and we have hope in that because he's going to put things right, and it's going to be at the perfect time appointed by God when things in his plan have been brought to completion. Everybody will see Jesus come in glory to save his people. Everybody will see the salvation of the Lord to bring his people into eternal life with him. The glorious and long-awaited event is described as well as is humanly possible in Revelation 21. But this is both a promise and a challenge, because Jesus commissioned his disciples to live in light of that promise, to go and tell people the good news of God's salvation in this age as well, to the ends of the earth, to all people in all places. The fact that this is not yet fulfilled is an inspiration and a challenge to us to go and do so, to go and share the good news of God's salvation with the ends of the earth, to make it known, to try our best to make it happen. These aspirational promises in the Psalms that transfer into aspirational things that we worship God with are there to help us share in God's hopes and God's desires for the world and his people. So God's time, our place in God's story through history, and God's place as well. When the psalm was written, people knew that God was almighty and that he was present everywhere, but God had most powerfully shown his presence in the central place of worship in the Jewish faith, first in a tent as his people moved through the desert, and then in a permanent temple in Jerusalem. Verses 4 to 6 of Psalm 98 paint a picture of what this looked like. God's people coming from across the world to a festival at the temple, singing in worship as they came, responding to the call to worship given by the trumpets and the ram's horns. They came to meet with God. They came to be as close to being in God's presence as they possibly could be at the time. It was an amazing place and an incredible experience. But God had something even better planned, because there was still a separation between God and his people, a barrier set in place with sin. We are made to be in relationship with God, to walk and talk with him and to worship in his presence. So when we read this psalm, we remember that the place to meet God has changed. The closeness of relationship that we can have with God has deepened. God sent Jesus, his son, to be God as a person among his people. Jesus spoke with, he ate with, he prayed with, he befriended people. People could go and meet with God by meeting with Jesus. They could talk face to face and know God's input in their lives. And when Jesus died and rose again, our relationship with God was restored fully and completely. And he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. God with us, living in our hearts and in our lives. So now, the place to go and meet with God is us. It is the church. It is his people. We are the place to come and meet with God. We can meet with God wherever we are and wherever we go. We bring God's presence by grace wherever we go, to whoever we meet, to any situation that we're in. And when we meet as Christians, we meet in God's presence, not because we're in a church building, but because God is with us as he's promised. So in the now, Jesus says about our current situation, the kingdom of God, to paraphrase, is not an institution. It's not a nation. It is a community, and it is the presence of God amongst us, as it says in Luke 17. The kingdom of God is amongst you. But it's imperfect, because we're imperfect still. We still do bad things. We still mess up. We get distracted. We set each other a bad example and put people off knowing God more. If that's what it's like to know Jesus, some people say, thinking about the lives that some Christians have lived, then I'm not interested, sorry. Our bad habits and the bad influence we have on the world means that we can't know God as fully as we'd like, and the bad influence we receive from the rest of the world and others around us as well. We don't know God as fully as we'd like to, but we have a thirst to want to know him more. But one day, we will. We will know him perfectly. We will be in God's presence without distraction, without bad influence, for eternity, and it will be perfect. As Jesus promised in John 14, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house, and you will be where I am. What an amazing promise. What a wonderful thing to look forward to. So we will be in God's place, in his house, for eternity, and we have that to look forward to. So when we read Psalms like Psalm 98, we remember that hope that we have of God's place. And we think about God's world as well. The world, the universe, was made by God. He made it in love, and he made it for his glory. The way he made it, the planets, the earth, plants, animals, humans, all made to show how amazing God is. And in Psalm 98, verses 7 to 9, describe how the whole of creation is called to worship God. When we worship God, when we honor him with our time, our decisions, our actions, and our attitudes, we live in his world how he intended for us to do. We fulfill our roles as stewards of his world by grace. We carry out the role that humankind was given in Genesis of being stewards of God's world to preserve the glorious nature of creation. And we help the world function in the way that God intended, which again shows how good he is. And in the same way that we need calling to worship away from the distractions, it says in Psalm 98, the world needs calling to worship because things are not perfect. We read in human history, throughout human history, how we haven't treated the world and we haven't treated others, other people, right. So in the now, we look back at the then, but if we think about the now, we are in the hottest year on record by quite a significant margin, which is a consequence of human misuse of God's world. The natural world is suffering as a consequence of human sin, individually and collectively. Therefore, it shouldn't be a surprise that, as described in the psalm, The natural world cries out to its creator and longs for relief. We know the consequences of human sin on inequality, on oppression, poverty, and all kinds of abuse. Humans cry out for justice and restoration. But here and now we have hope. We have Jesus. When we live in relationship with God and we bless others in his name, we make decisions that help restore the natural world rather than exploit it, we bring about God's kingdom. It is God's kingdom, God's rule in God's world. But there's more. When we remind ourselves that when we believe in Jesus, there will be an end, there will be perfection, and there will be eternity with God. It is a good and perfect ending. All things will be made new, as it describes in Revelation 21. All the bad things will be removed from the world. Sickness, injustice, sorrow, all gone, just gone, swept away by the holy, powerful love of Jesus. So when we read Psalm 98, we, like the rest of God's creation, find joy in the hope that God will come and judge. It sounds a bit of an odd thing to do, to look forward to God coming and judging the world. But we do so because he's coming to restore and to set things right. We praise God because we're looking forward to this judgment in joy, because it will be our restoration. It will be our vindication. It will be our victory over the bad things in the world by grace, won by Jesus. It is his victory, his restoration, and by grace we get to take part in that. God's judgment will be our fulfillment because the good things we have in Jesus now will be made perfect as we step into eternity with him. And it should be a promise that inspires us to respond to the opportunities we have in our age to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to meet with God in his time, his place, and his world, to make our time God's time, to make our place God's place, and to extend his kingdom into our part of his world, to bring his rule in the places where we have influence, in word, in action, in spirit, love, and truth, and for the glory of Jesus above all. Amen. So that's Psalm 98. Hopefully, whatever psalm speaks to you at the moment, you can think of it in terms of finding your place in God's time, God's place, and God's world. You can reflect on the then, the now, and the not yet. Have a reflect this week on what psalm speaks to you, which one resonates the most with your circumstances and situation, the one that God has put on your heart this week, and reflect on these themes so that we can have confidence and assurance in the promises of God, on where we stand with him now, and we can rejoice in what he's done for us up to this point as well. So we're going to stand in worship.